are some that went through the session. They can walk you through the forgiveness. They can walk you through the generational curses, and they can walk you through breaking the soul ties. Because everything is building one on the other. So it's very important that you do that. You might have a pastor here that you can connect with, or just any one of us, because we are being equipped. We are being equipped to set the captives free. So what you have learned, now you go out and you use it in order to set someone else free. So I encourage you to do that. It's very, very important. I also want to say that for those who weren't here last week or last session, that one of the purposes of what we're doing is that so you gain freedom, but also so that you can help others gain freedom, because this is a part of the equipping of the saints. So take what you've got, what you've learned, we've given you tools that you can use them to help other people gain their freedom. All right. Marianne? Oh, there you are. Okay. Marianne's going to introduce what's going to happen during this session.
What we're going to talk about today is the effects of abandonment first, rejection, and then trauma this afternoon. And Ron Sava, God bless him, did a wonderful job demonstrating for us practically in a way we can see. Doesn't it help us when we can see visually? Yes. Many of these things are intertwined together and result from similar roots. Jesus is all about going back to the root of the problem. Because, you know, if you don't kill the roots on that tree, it's going to come back up again. God doesn't merely treat the symptoms. He goes back to the source of your problem in order to set you free from it. We know the story in John about how Jesus put the spit and the saliva on the blind man. There is DNA in your saliva. When Jesus spat, this blind man received a divine DNA transfer. He says that Jesus didn't place the saliva on the man's eyes, but on the clay, the thing from which the man was made. In other words, Jesus went back to the root of his problem. So understand this. God doesn't merely treat your symptoms. He goes back to the source of your problem in order to set you free from it. To change the fruit, he changes the root. This man never had the ability to see. He was born blind, and he needed a creative miracle. Sometimes all we need to do is see where something came from, recognize it is not the truth, and replace the faults with the truth. They're going to be talking about this morning in your notebooks. There's a whole sheet of scripture verses to replace the lies with the truth. So take advantage of them. When I was a young girl, I was playing the piano in our piano room, and my brother was practicing his trumpet because he was going to be playing for the pit band for the Junior Miss pageant. And I was younger than him and fiddling around and told my mom, someday when I'm in the Junior Miss pageant, I'm going to play the piano and sing. And my mother very gently said, oh, honey, girls that wear glasses usually don't get to be in the Junior Miss pageant. Now, she was being kind because it was probably the truth. And I didn't think about that growing up. I mean, it wasn't a thing. But as I got older and was dealing with self-esteem issues, that thought came back to me. And I believe the Lord showed me that was operating in my life. Not on purpose. My mother loved me. No question about that. It was just something that came out that started operating in me and influenced how I thought about myself. So I was meeting with a pastor about some of these self-esteem issues, and that came back to me, and I shared it with him. He said, so go get contact lenses. Get rid of the glasses. So that was a practical act. So I got contact glasses, and it reinforced, I'm beautiful. Well, now I still wear glasses because I can't wear contacts anymore, but it doesn't matter because I'm beautiful whether I wear contact lenses or have glasses or not. So I just wanted to share that practical example of some simple little thing that might have happened in your past that wasn't meant to take you out or hurt you, but just happened and started influencing. And if the Lord shows you something like that, say, oh, that's not the truth. The truth is I'm beautiful in God's eyes, whether I wear glasses or not. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Because sometimes it's just simple little things that the Lord can show us that can set us free. This is why Jesus came, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It doesn't matter whether your parents contributed to your problem or you simply made bad choices yourself in life. Jesus can set you free, make you whole, and give you a new life. Jesus didn't blame this man or his parents. That's because he's not in the condemnation business. He's in the transformation business. Amen. Open your ears and your hearts today to hear what God might be saying to you. More steps on the road to freedom for you and for those you minister to as well. And at this time, Patty is going to come and share with us about abandonment. Turn your cell phones off, if you would, please. Silence them.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad we're here today. All right. Lord, come and let your voice be my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Abandonment and rejection are widespread. Many don't realize that they are living with lingering effects that infiltrate into many areas of their lives and beings. Abandonment and rejection work hand in hand. Abandonment is a root. It's the act that was done to a person. Feelings of rejection is the fruit and can stay with a person their entire lives. And it becomes a frequent theme that can be a deep, lingering, painful feeling that keeps resurfacing again and again throughout life's experiences. The definition of abandonment, it comes from the word abandon, to forsake entirely, to renounce, to withdraw from, to leave and never return, to desert, to give up. Abandonment means total desertion, the state of being forsaken, left, or given up. Some signs that there is a lingering spirit of abandonment in your life: always being ignored by people you love, being left alone, it seems to be no one ever there to help you, especially by those who should love you, having to take care of yourself, not able to trust anyone, not able to trust even God. Thoughts of having been left alone, thoughts of thinking you've been left even by God, having been left by a parent, a guardian, a spouse, a fiancé, having been adopted, having been made fun of by peers, your own children, family members, spouses, having been left to fend for yourself by your spouse, friends, coworkers, and those in authority, having been made a scapegoat. Rejection. Rejection comes from the word reject, to throw away as useless or vile, to cast off, to refuse to grant, to refuse to accept or consider, to refuse to receive. Rejection means to throw away, to cast off, to forsake, and a refusal to accept or grant. To clarify for our purposes today, we are addressing many aspects of rejection because it is layered. We are addressing the feeling of being rejected, which comes from the root of having been abandoned at some point, or for some people, several points in their lives. And we are addressing the response of rejection that we can tend to live out of from the past wounding of having been rejected. This is this way of being where we're consciously or not consciously rejecting throughout our lives is more of an ingrained automatic rejection response to the people around us. It's like some seed was planted and we just live from that space. So that is the color of our glasses. We were rejected, so we reject. And it is a vicious cycle. Some signs that there is a spirit of rejection in our lives, feeling that we don't belong, feelings of unworthiness, having no value, uselessness, insecurity, hopelessness, despair, feeling like you are invisible, feeling of not being loved, feelings of not being accepted, feelings that you aren't important, you don't matter, neither are your needs or opinions or ideas. Feeling that no matter what you do, it's just never good enough. Fear of man. Always having to have everything perfect. Like you have to think about that. If you are living in a place of rejection, what you can have control of is making everything around you perfect. So sometimes it manifests in that manner. Driven to perform, to be loved, being a people pleaser. Rejection also takes on the form of us rejecting others and not allowing them in because we are living in this spirit of rejection from our prior woundedness. So the differences are clear, I hope. The abandonment is the act and the rejection is the feeling or response resulting from the act of having been abandoned. Many times the abandonment has occurred long ago, for many of us, probably childhood, and maybe from being divorced. However, the act happened at some point in our life, and the feelings of rejection are so pervasive that they carry on with us as our life goes on, and we can forget and not even realize that we are in this condition because of the act of abandonment that happened way long ago. The source could even come from when we were 5 years old and abandoned by a parent. But for the last 20, 30, 40 years, or even longer for some folks who don't know the Lord, we are aware of how these feelings of unworthiness, low self-esteem, not belonging, it just keeps coming up, and it's a chronic, constant theme in our life, over and over and over again. Rejection is a manifestation of abandonment. Because many have been abandoned, it's not a feeling, it's a fact. Rejection is a manifestation that comes out of being abandoned. And this is why we have to be free from abandonment first. So we thank you, God, that you are in the healing business. And at this time, he is wanting, at this time especially, I keep going back to this like last session, for the upcoming harvest that is coming in, he is wanting his body, his bride, to be cleansed, healed, delivered, and set free. By the blood of Jesus, sozo life was purchased for us. This includes salvation, healing of body, soul, mind, and spirit, and having the abundant life in Christ Jesus. So we welcome you in this morning, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to reveal all the things, all the hidden places, so that the darkness will be dispelled by your glorious light here today. We lay ourselves down on your altar. We make our hearts transparent before you. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way with us here today. We open ourselves up to receive from you and to be set free so that we in turn can set the captives free. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now we will have Gerda come up and do the abandonment teaching.
Hi, my name is Gerda. I was born in Germany And I had firsthand experience of that orphan spirit. So I'll share my testimony and then we'll expose what that abandonment is. So I was born during World War II, and there was a war, and my mother was not able to take care of me. My father went to war, so I was left at the orphanage with a lot of other kids, totally, totally abandoned, totally nobody to do anything. But the thing is that when you're in an institutional place, you do get food, you get shelter, food, things, but you do not receive love. You do not receive encouragement. You don't get the things that you get from a father or mother, because too many kids and not enough people to take care of the kids. So at the end of the war, when the war was over, my grandmother, who was a believing mother, she just got me out of the orphanage, signed me out, took me home, and I grew up with her in her house. And what I never knew is that spirit of abandonment and rejection came into me at the orphanage. And it was there, and it went dormant. You know, it's not always right up here. It went dormant. And every once in a while, when a situation came up, it came up. Well, you're not good enough. You can talk. You can do this. All of those things. And so immediately what you do, you back up and you go, you know, away, and you're not really. I'm very, very shy. I was shy, very shy at one point. But you know, the Holy Spirit works in our life, even when we don't know him. So he was working towards me to get saved. So he set up all the things, and I met the Lord Jesus. And everything, I'm talking about transition, everything changed. Because now I got saved, I knew the Lord, I couldn't get enough of him and knowledge and all of that. And then God did a really wonderful, miraculous thing. He sent an American soldier my way. Ha! We fell in love, got married, and a year later came to the States. Well, there's not a complete transition. Because remember, I couldn't speak English much. I couldn't read, write English. So there was a lot of learning and things. But God got me through that. And so I learned how to pray at the point. And my husband didn't want anything to do with God. Or you go to church, I stay home, and I'm happy. So, but God one day gave me, I prayed about 4 years. 5 years, he gave me a scripture which I really didn't know what it meant or how it would even work out. It's a scripture in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give him a heart, a new heart, and I put a new spirit within him. And I will take the heart of flesh and give him a heart out of him and give him, well, that scripture. Well, it wasn't even 2 months later, God did that. And you know, you're thinking when you get a word of promise, you try to figure out how he's going to do it. Well, you can't figure it out. So one night we were in bed sleeping, and he woke me up and he said, I want to say goodbye. And I said, where are you going? He said, I'm having a heart attack. I'm leaving. And I was so in shock, and my brain shut off, and my spirit came alive. And I told him, you're not going anywhere. You're staying right here and raising those 4 sons of yours. You're not leaving. And I started to pray. I started praying in tongues. And I told them, just agree with whatever I'm praying. And then the next day he was healed. He got that physical new heart and the spirit in him. He accepted the Lord, except he did it backwards. He healed them first. And then... So from that point on, there was another transition. All of a sudden, I mean, he was safe with a bang. There was no stopping him. And the Lord put healing in his heart. So everywhere he went, he laid hands on it and prayed for people, and they got healed. So he started building a church in Brockport. And, you know, also besides that, he got taught about the Lord. He wasn't much of a reader, but, and then after that church was built, we went to Greece, we reconstructed a whole other church, the one at Victory. Yeah, he did that. So, but then talking about transitions. Then one day in end of December, he had a heart attack for real, and he went to heaven. So there was another abandonment and rejection for me, because I didn't know how to handle that. He was just taking care of everything. I'm telling you that because the Holy Spirit's in our life, if we see it or not. But that orphan spirit was always there, because I didn't know it was there, and I didn't know how to get rid of it. So anyway, there was a friend. I have a friend in Florida. She said, right after he went to heaven, she said, come on down to Florida. We're having deliverance. I have no clue what deliverance was, but I was hurting so badly, so I went. So we went to deliverance, and it was the deliverance was of my past as a childhood, in my childhood. So they went through that in generational curses. That's what it was. And so they prayed. And then the lady asked me, you've forgiven your husband, right, for abandoning you? I said, no. No, I'm not. I don't know what to do, you know. So, but I was so wounded. And, you know, I did forgive him, but it wasn't his choice. So then since I was alone, my son moved in with me. And we lived together for 8 years. Then he went to heaven. Not an abandonment. But you know what? God always was right there. In every rejection, every abandonment, if we let him, he's right there. Has already worked out the plan. And so anyway, Linda Heidler from Glory of Zion made a statement, and that really helped me. She said, you have to drain the swamp and kill the monster. Because that's where that monster is hiding, in the swamp of our life. And he chooses to come up and cause problems and disappears. So, God loves us unconditionally. He is the Father. So I didn't want to do a long sob story here, because it did work out. God, with God's grace, it did work out for good. And we need to just trust God. Life takes many roads, and you're not always choosing which road we're going to go. But with God, it's going to turn out good. So I'm going to teach a little bit about abandonment, because I did not know anything about that. I didn't know, and maybe some of them here don't know either. So we don't always know why we're forsaken by our father, our family. We might be forsaken because of war, like I was, or with divorce, or death, or sickness. But the result is the same. It's suffering. We have to, work things. But being an orphan, and having an orphan spirit, always feel we don't belong. We always feel like the last in line. We are in a place of emptiness, no love, no praise, no hugs, no value, no purpose, no one to stick up for you. We are alone without a father or family that loves us. That's an orphan. So an orphan grows up with minuses in life. We feel less than others all of our life. We try very hard to accomplish and to be noticed, because nobody noticed you as an orphan. We crave for the love of a father. We always strive to please, but we're never good enough. We constantly wait for something to change for good. So after a while, if nothing changes, we are used to being an orphan, so living that lifestyle of not belonging to anyone. It's just how you are. It's just the way you, that's all you know. So every day in the orphanage or whatever situation we're in, it confirms daily. You're here to stay. That is your life. And there's no future. So might as well get used to it, which is the biggest lie that enemy can do. But God in his heart says things are subject to change. It's my favorite word. Subject to change. They are not staying the way they are. And when Jesus came and paid in full for a new life, That's when everything changed. So orphans have a difficult time relating to a father, even God himself. I could never relate to God as a father because that wasn't my experience. They have never experienced a father's love for themselves. Orphans can read about the love of God. They can hear about the love of God. They can even see it in other people, but themselves, they never experience it. But today, God wants to give us the Father's love. So another thing an orphan spirit sees that orphan is always ignored. They walk past you. They don't talk to you. And some can relate to that, you know. And you so desperately want to be recognized and loved. But with that mentality, it's just not happening. So the orphan feel they are not good enough and feel unaccepted by God and others. That's another lie. So orphans have this big empty void and don't know how to fill it. Orphans live in guilt, fear, shame, even though it's not their fault. God says it's not your fault. So orphans are afraid to be left alone. They're afraid of not having enough to eat, and they have no inheritance. An orphan has no inheritance. But our Heavenly Father says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. The truth, the devil can only travel where fear is. When I'm in fear, the enemy travels there. Fear is the trademark of the devil. So he uses full advantage of it. But the truth is perfect love of the Father casts out our fear. So now I have some good news. Good news, good news, good news. With Jesus, things have shifted in our favor. So the answer to the orphan spirit is our Heavenly Father who wants to adopt us through Jesus Christ. Jesus talked in John 14:15 about God's love and his nature and the Father's love and how we are his children. And through Jesus, his beloved son, when he went to the cross, God now had legal right to adopt all of us who want to be adopted. So there's only four words in the New Testament that uses the word adoption. It's not in the Old and only four in the New. I'll tell you what they are. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So we are no longer have an orphan spirit. In Romans 9:4, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God and promises. We have been given the promise to be children of God. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us into adoptions of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So the answer to not being an orphan any longer is now being legally adopted to a loving Father, God who promised, I will never leave you and forsake you. He has never left me from the day I was born. My name means guarded and protected. I went through the whole war. I went through, you know, everything up and down. He protected me. I didn't know that, but I'm glad he did. The adopted son now has his father's name. Think about that. We know who we are. We have our father's name. We have his spiritual DNA. We have part of his bloodline. He has an inheritance. We have an inheritance in Christ. As an orphan, there was no inheritance. There was no love. There was no protection. As a son and daughter of Most High God, we have all of it. A son receives an inheritance. A slave does not. Before we were slaves, now we're sons and daughters. Amen. And what a deal. What a deal. Who could pass it up, right? So by having the Father's name, we know who we are and to whom we belong. We are immersed in the gift of salvation. We have his righteousness. We don't have to earn it. It's given to us. We are sons of God, of Father God, born in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Our Father has committed himself to us. What a blessing. Patty.
Thank you, Gerda. Thank you. That was awesome. Okay. In the books is a prayer for the release of this from the spirit of abandonment. Looks like this. Prayer for release from abandonment. And Holy Spirit put on me to add that Gerda's speaking dealt a lot with physical abandonment and the fruits thereof. And there is a lot of us who walk around with this spirit who were not left, you know, by parents in an orphanage. So we have to extend this to those of us who have adopted the spirit of abandonment in ourselves for whatever reason that we walk around as orphans. Through our ministry time and prayer time with people, we have found that although people may be saved and, you know, sealed in the blood of Jesus, there still is this lingering spirit of abandonment that is somehow carried along even in their walk with Jesus. So that's why we felt really strongly that although many of us may not have been put in an orphanage, that we need to break this spirit of abandonment off of us. So what is spoken today is legal in the heavens. So remember that as we decreed this prayer and we are released from this spirit of abandonment, it is being done in the heavens, and as in the heavens, as here on earth. So this is a legal transaction we are doing this morning. All right. 1, 2, 3. Father God, you are so wonderful, so loving and kind to me. Lord, you are good, and your mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Father, I know that your love knows no bounds. By the power of your Holy Spirit, touch my heart, Father, and reveal to me in this moment the depth of your love. Your intention for me is to fully realize how much you love me. I decree today I am a beloved child of the Most High God. Today, I recognize and admit that I have been living with the effects of the spirit of abandonment in my life. I speak to the spirits of abandonment, and I break you off in the mighty name of Jesus. I repent from agreeing with and listening to the lies from the enemy, which allowed the spirit of abandonment to come in and take root in my life. I repent and come out of agreement with this spirit. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Therefore, I decree that abandonment is broken off my life right now by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus, and I am set free. Holy Spirit, bring to mind where abandonment issues began and who was involved. We can just pause and reflect. Let Holy Spirit reveal to you, and then just offer it. Offer it to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Uncover, reveal, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Okay. Right now, I lift these people up to you, Father, and I forgive them. I release them and the incident that occurred to you, Father. I confess that I have been wounded by my earthly parents and others who have ignored me and been silent towards me. I forgive them all. I give this pain and broken heart to you, Father. In place, I receive your healing love and a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. I declare right now, you are healing my broken heart and binding up my wounds. I decree that my Heavenly Father is a good, good Father who has never abandoned me, ever. I decree that my Heavenly Father has not ignored me, nor been silent towards me. You think well of me. You love me, and I stand before you with an open heart to receive more of your love. I know that you, Father, have never abandoned me, but rather you have adopted me into your family as your own. I declare that I am an adopted child of the Most High God. Fill me with the realization of this truth, that you are my Abba Father, and I am your beloved child. I am set free from the spirit of abandonment and all the effects and fruit of those bitter roots. My heart is filled with the love of God, and I realize that I am his child. He is my heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord, that by your blood and sacrifice, I am healed and set free. Alleluia. All glory be to you, O Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I am free. We seal these transactions with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And now, Flora, right? All right.
Father, to you. You've been gone too long. Think you've fallen too far to ever hope to find a place you're not alone. You've been gone so long, forgotten who you really are. Far too lost to ever find a way back home. You've been wounded to despair, beaten down so many times, there's no more feeling there. Though you're mired deep in shame, still you long for someone just to know your name. I know your name. Child, come home. Just come home. I will love you where you are, child. Just come home. Child, come home. Just come home. Lay your burden down, I love you, just come home, yeah. You have fallen so far in the sinking sand, and you never see a way to pull it free. Drifted oh so far that you never see dry land, and the waves have grown too high to ever see. Well, I am right by your side, and I have always been there waiting through your darkest night. And if you'll let me take your hand, I will be a song. Child, take my hand.
child come home.
We have a home with the Father. And He's calling all of those who felt like they were orphans, all of those who felt like they really didn't have a home. He says, you do have a home. He says, you have a home with me. So just let God love on you. He's an Abba Father. He's a Heavenly Father. He's a loving Father. And He just wants you to know that He loves you. He cares about you. And He wants you to feel like you have a home, because you do have a home. I want us to stand up, and I want us to make a declaration. First of all, I want to read a scripture out of Galatians. I'm going to read the scripture out of Galatians, and then we're going to make some declarations based on the prayer that we did. And then I'm going to release a blessing over you. It's Galatians 4, in its verse 4 through 7, it says, "But when the proper time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law, to purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's son. And because you really are His sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Let's say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, a bondservant, but you are a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have sonship through Jesus Christ our Lord. So repeat after me. I am adopted into the family of God.
I am adopted into the family of God.
I have a home.
I have a home.
I have been chosen.
I have been chosen.
I am a child of Almighty God.
I am a child of Almighty God.
I am not neglected.
I am not neglected.
I am not deserted.
I am not deserted.
I am not rejected.
I am not rejected.
I am accepted.
I am accepted.
In the beloved.
In the beloved.
I have a godly inheritance.
God loves me.
God has forgiven me.
God
highly values me.
God
celebrates me.
God
tells heaven that I'm His own. I belong to Him. Amen and amen. Now, stay standing. I guess we tell the enemy a few things right. It just happens, this book on blessing your spirit, we're going to be giving one of these out this afternoon, but I've just got this book a few days ago, and when I turned to today, it was about sonship. So I felt the Lord wanted to release this blessing over you. I bless you with the spirit of sonship and the mindset of sonship. I bless you with embracing problems with the confidence that God is in them to give you grace to solve them and to overcome. I bless you with a deep heart identity as God's very own child, securely loved in his family, calling him Abba, dear Father. I bless you with a spirit of sonship that does not make you a slave to fear because you know your Abba is with you. I bless you with the subtle assurance that he has a future and a hope for you, that he has written your days in his book with love for your best interests and his ultimate glory. I bless you with being filled with the deep knowledge that your Abba knows what you need and has all the resources of the universe to meet that need. I bless you with being tuned into God with eyes for seeing and ears for listening according to his spirit. I bless you with being led by the fullness of the spirit of truth to call forth God's true spiritual discernment to see things as he sees them in the spirit realm. I bless you with deep knowledge that you are an heir with your brother Jesus to all the treasures of your Father. I bless you with the confidence that you have the riches of your Father and that you lack nothing that you need emotionally, physically, practically, mentally, spiritually, and any way. I bless you with embracing the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus so that you would be blessed with sharing his glory. I bless you with realizing the glory that you have and embracing the glory that you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release this blessing over you today. Amen and amen. So be it. So be it. Okay. Al was just sharing with me. He said, do you know the Hebrew perspective of adoption? I said, no. And then he shared it with me, and I thought, wow.
When you look at adoption in the Old Testament, it is permissible for me as a father to send away my children, my sons and my daughters. But if I have an adopted child, I am not allowed to send them away. Adopted children can never be sent away. And that's the power of the blood of Jesus for us.
Wow, we can never be sent away because we are adopted by the blood of Jesus. That is good news. That is good news.